Speaking of welfare.
Nah, yeah.
That means I'm a decent human being. What are you?
Ah, you're on
welfare. Yeah. Why do they pay you? They only pay you because you're a queer motherfucking piece of
go live south of Market. You're on welfare. Would you mind shut your fucking mouth? You fucking piece of you ain't nothing but a piece of shit. Don't shut your fucking mouth, you fucking you ain't nothing. You're disgusting. I hate you. The whole world hates you.
The whole world hates you. The whole world hates you.
Well, we were just looking at a trailer for the Ray and Pete movie.
Oh, which, God, that yeah. damn thing.
I know. You know, the trailer.
Oh, dear.
We'll have it soon.
The trailer looks, well, funny. The trailer doesn't look nearly as grim as I thought it would.
Mm.
But we know
well,
where this thing goes,
yeah,
unfortunately.
That's right. That's right. And we've gotten so much email about it. And just in a nutshell on this thing is that we all know our affiliation with the whole Ray and Pete thing and Eddie Lee and Mitchell D., the two guys that tape recorded them and all the years that we've spent enjoying Ray and Pete. But those guys are deeply in touch with us, knowing how much the tapes and how much all of us in Detroit love Ray and Pete. So we've been kind of a big part of that whole thing. And so therefore they want to get us involved in this very documentary, which is what this is all about. Finally, there was going to be a legitimate movie shot about these guys, and everybody's excited. They got us involved. They came here, these guys from Australia, working on government grants, by the way, from Australia, and these Australian filmmakers came in to cut this documentary and shot Drew and I across, oh, hell, 4 hours, something like that, plus a big old interview with Eddie and Mitchell that was taped on the other side in San Francisco. All this stuff came together. Eddie worked tirelessly with these guys across many, 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 many months, even getting access into the infamous apartment, shooting footage of that, talking to the current resident about the history of the apartment and the fights and everything else. They interviewed Muhammad Olooney, the guy that would sell them the vodka, did all this kind of stuff. All of it ended up being cut. Not only Drew and I completely ended up in the cutting room floor, but also ouch. Ouch. Muhammad Olooney got
like,
cut.
Sounds like he gave him a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, it's funny. After the director would say to Eddie Lee, I didn't know those guys had that much to do with Ray and Pete. And Eddie's
sure,
like, are you
sure
serious?
That's what, sure that's what he said.
Are you serious? Yeah. But you know, he was emailing me the same thing. The guy
jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Yeah, well, the director was saying the same. He was emailing
me. We were the commerce.
We had no idea.
We were the commerce.
We didn't know that you guys had such a big history of that. Oh, please, give me a break. That was total crap. But also, all the work that Eddie did inside the apartment, cut.
That's in there.
Muhammad Ali, cut.
That's in the trailer we just watched.
Well, according to Eddie Lee, that never made the movie.
They're inside the apartment on the trail. Unless they mocked up an apartment.
Well, I don't know.
I was really curious.
After,
I was really curious after seeing the trailer as to, what exactly happened with Eddie Lee. I mean, I wonder if, I mean, he obviously was not happy. And I understand if it's anywhere close to what he said, anywhere close,
oh, yeah.
I'd be furious because it sounds like.
He was furious.
It went from being something that was, the fact that. Well, where we're important in Eddie Lee's eyes is because this thing got out to a mass audience because of radio stations like WRIF and a couple other. There were a few markets where literally those tapes started to sell to thousands of people,
yep.
Not to mention the tens of thousands more who heard them and thought they were hilarious and laughed for hours and hours with Ray and Pete. And here these guys from Australia come in. And we think they're going to tell a story that's really, what a crazy-ass story. Two drunken guys who argue vociferously, drunk off their asses, living on welfare.
yeah.
Is that? That's Peter's welfare check, right?
Yeah.
And these guys have to record them because the owners of the apartments don't believe them when they complain about the noise. So.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
So, you know, this thing. The tapes, as they start making the tapes, first they're angry, then it becomes this thing like, oh my God, have you heard the tapes these guys are making? They start playing it for friends, everybody thinks this is absolutely hilarious. Then they start taping more and more. Next thing you know, they've got hundreds of hours of tapes of these two guys arguing.
Yeah. It was great because the walls were so paper thin that they were able to record them easily right through the walls. And there was a sliding glass door on side-by-side balconies. And so they were able to hand a string of microphone right outside that sliding glass door. So summertime, all that perfect recordings. And as you say, in the beginning, the recordings were made to prove to the landlord the endless racket and screaming of shut up little man all through the night that was driving the guys nuts at the time. Eventually, they grew to find great amusement with it, but in the beginning, it was a pain in the ass. And in the end, Eddie Lee ends up contacting us saying, guys, I'm so damn sorry you cannot believe when he got a first look at this thing. And lo and behold, these directors turned the whole thing around. It was supposed to be a movie that would celebrate the great amount of fans and the great adoration that we all have for Ray and Pete. Instead, Eddie said the whole thing got turned around to show the greed of America and the capitalist society of greedy bastards that we all are, and that Eddie and Mitchell and all of us contributed equally to take advantage of a couple of down and out drunk guys to make a ton of money and take advantage of these guys. And it was absolutely disgusting. It resulted in hours of scream fest between Eddie and the film directors and all the people involved. And in the end, they were going to try to appease us, I guess, once there was word that we were going to be put in the DVD, or at least a portion of our interview. I don't know if that's going to be true. But Eddie himself wasn't going to go to the premiere of the damn thing when it broke in Sundance. So, in fact, originally it was out in Cannes and then worked its way to Sundance, and it was up there at Traverse City. So anyway, we all backed out of it and refused to promote the damn thing because it was such a pisser.
Well, I don't know how much we really backed out of it. It seems like we're more like clipped out of it than backed out of it.
Well, when I say backed out of it, I mean as far as enthusiastically promoting it is what I mean.
I know. The reviews, by the way, one's really good, one's not so good. But you know what? They don't really. I'm sure that that Eddie's very sensitive about any portrayal of him.
Oh, definitely.
But I don't really see, it doesn't seem like in the reviews that they really discuss that part of it. There does seem to be a little bit of one review seems to be suggesting that, gee, how are we supposed to view this? You know, is there some judgment that we want to put on the characters, either Ray and Pete, or on Mitch and Eddie, you know, who sell tapes and spin off merchandise? But it doesn't seem like that's really the point of the whole movie. I mean, it seems to me in reading this that they kind of have the story. I mean, they definitely know how to tell the story. And as far as them becoming some of these taglines, like shut up, little man, you know, people in places like Michigan and Ohio screaming out, shut up, little man. I mean, they seem to sort of make that point that what is the chance that these crazy arguments would end up being reproduced on a mass scale? You know, that point in the movie, it seems to be made. I'm not sure how heavy the judgment of Mitch and Eddie really is without seeing it. It just doesn't seem in the reviews that there's that much said about it.
Wow, very interesting.
But I could see why he would be, if there was even any discussion to the effect of what we originally heard, that, you know, oh, how horrible these Americans treat something like this, you know, turning it into commerce, making money off these poor drunken, poor diseased men from San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, if that was really the point of the movie, or even if that point was made, it would be hard to digest much else in the movie, but
because
I don't know how much of that is true.
Well, it's interesting because endless conversations with Eddie about it, Mitchell and all that, and the director who was writing me about it. Now, Eddie claims time and time again that the whole focus of the thing is taking advantage of these guys. However, there is a portion I would love to see, and that I'm sure we'd all love to see, and that is on the good side, that Eddie mentioned, and that is that they did find Tony, and they filmed him, and he was a real nut job in prison, everything else, but a real kook. And as a matter of fact, they found him in this apartment. The dude had a knife, and told them when they went up there to film him that if anybody made a wrong move, he'd kill him. That Tony was sort of like out of his mind, and they were a little worried about it when they were filming him. But everything settled down eventually. But anyway, apparently we do see Tony, and there are some of the Peter interviews. So you do see Peter, including Peter saying his famous line, shut up, little man, on camera, and lots of photographs and such with Ray and all that. So I mean, I would love to see that portion of it. No doubt.
I'd like to take a look at this. Here's one thing that surprises the hell out of me to hear this is the reviewer says at one point, long gone from the palace, Mitch and Eddie continued selling tapes and spin-off merchandise, but watched with mixed emotions as their little urban field recordings took on new lives of their own. Threatened lawsuits and some rifts between creative collaborators ensued. Feeling a bit conscience-stricken at having gotten so far on the purloined semi-private ravings of sad alcoholics, the protags tried to make things right, as seen in the docu's oddly redemptive climax. So, I mean, that makes it sound like there was some redemption and that they're not portrayed that poorly. Wow. I'm just reading what the review said.
Yeah,
that's a review.
Mm.
The other one is not so. See, this one, this review about the redemptive climax, they seem to like the movie.
Yeah.
The other one, they're not too crazy about it. An audio misadventure.
Well, and I wonder if it's true that they're going to add us into that DVD when they release that. I don't know. You know what? I should call Eddie again and see where we're at with this. I haven't talked to him for a few months.
The bad review, I'll have to read this. We have some time because we got Julie Newmar coming up.
Yeah.
It's 19 after 9 at WRAF, Drew and Mike, on Tuesday morning. Beautiful.